Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, which will open up with a question, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading. Birur, we're going to clarify or analyze. Be'ezen esibois cholku rabbonin reblozer ben Yaakov. We saw in our Mishnah that we learned in our previous shiur a machlokes between Rabbonin and Reb Elozer ben Yaakov in the case of partners, shutvim, that had been bound by vows not to benefit from one another. The Rabbonin said that they are not able to enter the courtyard, and Reb Elozer ben Yaakov relying upon the concept of brera, retroactive determination, does allow each one to enter the courtyard. Dafka bin Nodru, is this machloikis limited to the case of Nodru, where each one initiated the neder by saying, I prohibit upon myself benefit from you. So it's a, we'll call it a self-imposed vow. Avol. Behediru ze eze moldu rabbonon, the chol echad nichnas l'soich shaloi. However, if it would be a case where each partner had imposed a vow on the other friend, in other words, Mr. A says to Mr. B, his partner, I don't want you, Mr. B, benefiting from my property, where each one, the mudor, the victim of the vow, is in a situation beyond his control. So in a case like that, maybe the Rabbonon would concede to Reb Elozer ben Yaakov that each one is entitled to walk into the jointly held property relying on Brera. Or possibly a filu behediru zezeh cholkim in Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. It could be, and that's what the Gemara raises as a second possibility, that even in the case of Hediru Ze'ezeh, where each partner had imposed a restriction on the other fellow not to benefit from his property, the Rabbanan may, in that case also, maintain their position of a prohibition of going into the Chotzer altogether. Even though the prohibition, when you look at it regarding each partner, was a prohibition imposed on him beyond his control. The other partner had imposed the prohibition. In order to appreciate this Gemara, one will benefit more if he has a sensitivity to a language distinction between the terms Nodru versus Hediru. So now we read the question. You notice how we've marked it as a long question. Ibayalo, the question is raised regarding our Mishnah. Benodru pligi. Are we to understand that the Mishnah is to be taken, we'll say, literally? The Mishnah opened up with the words hashutfin shenodru, and nodru means that A said to Mr. B, I, Mr. A, don't want to benefit from your property. And B said to Mr. A, I don't want to benefit from your property. And under those circumstances, we see the machlokes that we describe between the Rabbonon and Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. So that is clear, that is an issue. That's a point of machlokes. Hediru ze ezemai. What about a case where instead of Mr. A saying to Mr. B, I, A, don't want to benefit from you, Mr. B, rather A says to Mr. B, you, Mr. B, cannot benefit from my property. Mi amrinon ben nodruhu de pligi. Do we say that in the case of nodru, they have their controversy, the chachomim with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Abo behidiru ze ze modu le rabbonu le Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The chi anusim domu. But in a case where the restriction was imposed on the individual by the other one, so he, the victim in that case, is onus. It's something that's beyond his control. I didn't impose the restriction on the property. He, the partner, prohibited me from benefiting from his share. So in a case like that, maybe the Rabbanan would concede to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that each one can go into the chotzer on the grounds of Breira. Oy Dilma, afilu behediru ze eze pligi Rabbanan. Or it could be that even in that case of hediru ze eze, the Rabbanan will maintain their position, no entrance, making no distinction between oynes and rotzon. Toshma. So the Gemara responds with a quote: "Hoyo echod mehem mudor hano mechavero." Now that you can see, we have an arrow. It is to be aligned with the arrow, second line from the top. Also a quote from our Mishnah. And what are we describing here? One was mudor hano mechavero. That means he was the victim of a neder made by the other guy. The other guy imposed on him a neder. That's hediru. And in that we see upligi rabbonin. Even in that case, the rabbonin said, third line from the top, lo yikonis lechatzer. He said the rabbonin said he cannot enter the field, even though, or the chatzer, he can't enter the courtyard, even though the vow was imposed on him by someone else. The Gemara says this is not conclusive. Tani, restate, or better yet, re-understand the case of mudur hano mechavero, not because the vow was imposed by the other guy on him, but nodur mechavero hano. He had imposed on himself a vow not to benefit from his friend. And of course, were you imposed on yourself the restriction, so then you cannot go in, according to the Rabbanan. Hochi nami mistabra. It's most likely that in a case of nodru, where each one imposed on himself the restriction, is that, and only then, you have the machloikis. Dekotoni seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, had said, v'kaifin es hanoider limkor es chelko. We force the noder to sell his holding in the property. If you say that the Mishnah is describing cases where the vow was self-imposed, then I understand why we'll force him to sell off his holding. In other words, you initiated a vow on yourself, self-imposed restriction, and with that, causing a limitation in benefit, so you have to sell off your holding. The Tosfos adds an element of clarity here, and that is, if you imposed a vow on yourself not to benefit from your friend's property, from his share in the chotzer, we will force you to sell your portion so that you don't come to a takola, as Tosfos says. What's a takola? So you don't come to stumble, to mistakenly go into a piece of property that you had on your, that you had imposed a restriction on yourself. So to prevent takola, we'll force you to sell the property. However, Eloi Amris, the Gemara continues, the Adre, if you say that the restriction is something that the friend imposed on his fellow partner, why do we force him to sell his holding in the property? The restriction that was imposed upon him was against his will. It was not something that he had intended for. And here you have the Rush adds another dimension of understanding. Elo Yamris de Adre Amai Koifin. Notice the Rush at the end of the Rush commentary. Ma posha hamudar shia. What sin, what wrongdoing did the mudar do shia chafu limkar chelka that will force him to sell off his portion in the property? Shimato Imer Kane, if you say, yeah, we can force someone upon whom restriction was placed to sell off his holding, you know what's going to happen? Kolecha yodur chaveru kadei shechafu limkor chelko. Everyone who has big eyes, that's desirous of being the exclusive owner of the property, all he'll do is he'll impose a vow on his friend, and that will force the partner to sell off his holding. And of course, that's totally unacceptable. So with this reading of the Seifa, it becomes clear that the Machloikis in the Mishnah is in a case where each partner had accepted upon himself self-imposed restriction of benefiting from the other person's property. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We see a diamond and a squiggle underline used on the side of the under the Mivneh. We indicate these are Beis Deos B'Zi'iri. There are two opinions as to what Zi'iri says. So the first opinion you see Rabba, and as we go to Omid Beis, you see five lines from the top, Rav Yosef with his version of Zi'iri. Omar Rabba, Omar Zi'iri. Machlokes, we're continuing at the top of Omid Beis. Machlokes kishiesh bo kidei chaluka. The machlokes in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv is when you have a chotzer, a piece of property that is subject or is worthy of division, that is capable of being divided, which means that after division, each one would have four amos. Four amos for this one and four amos for that one. That you're dealing with a chotzer that measures eight amos. On the side of the more, we have a nosei mivneh heading featuring the double underline where the terms machloikis and divrei kol are emphasized. Deos be'ezen nesibos choku or hiskim rabbonin Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv. Under what circumstances do Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv and the rabbonin argue? B'chotzer sheyesh bo kedei chaluka, b'chotzer shein bo kedei chaluka. What is the size of the chotzer? So according to Rabbah's version of Ziri, the machloikis is when the chotzer measures a total of eight amos. Aval ein bo kedei chaluka, if it's smaller than that, and that the resultant portion after division would be less than four amos per person, divrei hakol, everyone, even the rabbonin, will agree mutar. It's mutar for each one to walk into the chotzer and rely on breira. The Gemara continues, Omar le Rav Yosef hare beis hakneses. The example of a synagogue. This is an example that we haven't seen yet in the Mishnayos, but the Gemara is going to quote an upcoming Mishnah. The case of the synagogue. The kamish she'ein bo kedei chaluka domi. A synagogue is something that is not subject to division. Every part of the synagogue is necessary for each worshiper. It's not something that is subject to division. Can't say, well, you take the front half of the synagogue and I would take the back half of the synagogue. So the synagogue can be described as something that's ein bo kedei chaluka, which would be parallel to the case of the chotzer measuring less than eight amos. Utnan, and the Mishnah Daf Memches says, regarding partners that are forbidden to benefit from one another, it says, shnehem asurin bedover shel oiso ha'ir. Both of them cannot benefit from items that are owned or under the control of that particular city, that municipality. And a shul is an example of that. So what is it saying then? That both cannot, neither one or both of them cannot go into the shul. Neither one can go into the synagogue. And with that, you have a kasha on Rabbah here. What did Rabbah say about Ein Bo Kedei Chalukah? That even the Rabban and everyone agree you're allowed to go in. Here you see, that's not so. Here you see an opinion that says that on a parallel case, they are both prohibited from entering. Elo Omar of Yosef, Omar Ziri, Machloikis She'ein Bo Kedei Chalukah. The Machloikis Tanoim arises in a case where the item or the property is not subject to division. That's when you'll have a machlokes. The Rabbonan will tell you, you cannot go in. And that would be the opinion in the Mishnah Daf Mem Ches. Avol yesh bo kedei chalukah, if it's something that can be divided, then divrei hakol aser, even Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov will agree that it's forbidden to go in because there's an alternative solution. Divide it. Each one will then take their half, or their share in the holding, and thereby not violating the vow whatsoever, and each one will then go into his clearly defined portion. Omar Rav Huna halacha ke Reb Elazar ben Yankov, v'chein Omar Reb Elazar halacha ke Reb Elazar ben Yankov. So you have the Gemara ruling like Reb Elazar ben Yankov, and that would mean, according to, let's say, Rav Yosef's version, that if it's an area that is not subject to division, then you could go in based on Brera. Hamudur hano mechavero v'yesh lo shom merchatz. The Mishnah described an individual from whom benefit was restricted, so that you have a madir imposing on a mudar the prohibition of benefiting, and the madir, the one who initiated the vow, happens to own a bathhouse or an olive press, and the olive press is rented out to an outsider, to some third party. The Mishnah said that the subject of the vow, the mudar, can enter the bathhouse, benefit from the bathhouse or the olive press, if the original owner, who is the madir, has no tfisas yad. That was an expression in the Mishnah. Tfisas yad, and tfisas yad literally means he has or does not have a holding in it. Tfisas yad, his hand is holding it. So it means he has a holding in it. If the original owner, the madir, has no holding in it, then the mudar can go in, the property being viewed as being under the jurisdiction, under the control of the renter. The Gemara asks for kama tfisas yad. How much is tfisas yad? How do you define that? That if he, the madir, has, the original owner still has a holding in it, the mudar will be restricted. Omar Rav Nachman, lemechza l'shlishu l'ruvia, avol bebotzir lo. If he has a holding in it, 50%, 33%, or 25%, that's considered significant. But if it's less than that, that's botzir, means if it's less than that, his holding on it is considered of no significance, and the mudar can benefit from it. So that if the original owner, or the madir, is his share in the profits from this bathhouse or this olive press is less than 25%, according to Rav Nachman, the mudar is allowed to benefit from those properties. Abaye Omar, afilu bebotzir oser, even less than that is still reason enough to prohibit the mudar from benefiting. So heichi domi deshori, according to Abaye, under what circumstances is it mutar for the mudar, from the subject of the vow, to benefit from that bathhouse or olive press? Answer, the Mekabel Betaska. Rashi says, the Mekabel Betaska. The word Taska is an interesting word because if you do a letter switch, the Samach with the Kuf, you could read it as tax. And that's exactly what Taska is. Shekiblo hasocher loseis menu mas b'cholshona v'shona. If the arrangement is that the renter not only benefits from all of the profits, but the renter also pays the required taxes on it, the annual tax for that property, the bathhouse, the olive press, were the examples we saw, then it's considered mutar for the mudar to benefit from it. The Rosh also says, Shenoisein hasocher mas, I'm reading from the end of the Rosh commentary, the socher, the renter, pays the taxes, the oz nistalik balabayas the gamri. And with that, then the original owner, who is the madir, he is completely removed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.